been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. This is the Red...
Overcast.
It's the Red Eye Review for the Ravens 49ers game. This is episode 99. That's right. You guys have 99 episodes of The Call, and the Ravens have one win. So, joining me as always, we got my buddy Josh.
What's going on, man? 99 episodes, but a win ain't one.
Exactly.
Thank you, Jay-Z, for that.
Here we are.
Man, we should just change our name from the Ravens to the Losers. This just gets bad and worse, and holy crap.
I know. I don't know. This is I think they were hoping that the 20th season of the Ravens would be a little bit historic in a different way.
It's historic, all right.
Yeah, it's pretty historic here.
Justice, no pun intended.
But here we are, 2015. We are 6 weeks in, and the Ravens are not looking good. These guys are Josh, flat out. Is the season over now? Is it over?
Yeah, it's over, bro. I mean, as far as when we say season's over, meaning no playoffs for us. The P word is out, no playoffs. We can talk about postseason in a different way as off season. They would have to win every game out to really even be in the mix. It's atrocious. There's bad play all around. It just got worse. I don't know where to start. But I just want to just put everything in perspective, man. You remember, I mean, we've seen some horrible losses in our day, right?
Yeah, there's been some really bad ones.
We've covered them. I mean, we covered him on the call. We covered the regular season losses. We even covered some ugly playoff losses here. And what one worse than when we thought Lee Evans caught the ball and we thought we were going in overtime and a chip shot and we missed it. I wanted to start off and putting in perspective today. It's like a big week and it brings up the hype and it kind of sucks as our team is sucking. But everybody knows, and of course you know, Brandon, that Ray Lewis's book came out. We're recording today on a Tuesday the 20th. It came out today.
Yeah.
I'm actually en route to pick up my copies as we speak. And we definitely want to, I really can't wait to see how it all unfolds. Because I'm be at the book signing on Thursday and I really can't wait.
It's going to be down at the harbor, right?
No, actually there's two of them. There's
oh, really?
One at the harbor at noon at the Barnes & Noble, and then there's one at 6 o'clock in Bel Air, which I'll be at.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I took off. He's actually signing copies of his books. I'm on my way to pick up now. But I will say this. Bring it on perspective. I really can't wait to read the book, and I'm sure all Ravens fans will have that book in their hand either by Christmas time or whatnot as Christmas gifts. I told Brandon I wanted to play a special treat here. Ray Lewis has been putting some hype in his book, hyping his sales, and he's been putting some videos out, of certain things. Some of it was, one of it was his last dance, and it was prestigious to listen to that. One was the couple of playoff losses and the playoff wins, and then he actually covered the playoff loss, the 2011 AFC Championship game where Billy Cundiff did miss that kick. And Brandon, did you get a chance to actually listen to the clip we're going to be we're featuring here? Or
did I? Yeah, I got to check out the clip and
the whole video or just the clip.
I watched everything because of course since we don't own it or anything, we can't play the entire clip on the show. But Ray Lewis, whenever he speaks, I mean, it just takes me back to that moment. It makes me clear my head of whatever else is going on. The dude is such a good public speaker, and he's so inspirational. Like Joe said, he cracks me up every time where he's like, have you ever listened to any of Ray Lewis's speeches? Because a lot of them really didn't make any sense. Sounded cool, just didn't make a lot of sense. But this one that you're talking about makes a lot of sense. It takes me back to that 2011 championship game with that Lee Evans drop pass, with the Billy Cundiff kick that didn't work out. Ray just has this way of transporting your mind right back to how you felt in that moment.
He does, man. I mean, it's just like when you listen to it, he speaks with such intensity and such passion that you have nothing but to hang on every word. And well, and set the table. If anybody hasn't listened to the clip, he features it on his Twitter. He tweeted out on his official Twitter at Ray Lewis. It is on his official Facebook. Of course, look up Ray Lewis, public figure there, and you can follow him and like his page, and you can get all his content and features. But he put this out there, and we want to play a good clip of this. And he basically puts it in perspective, man. And I'm going to be honest with you, Brandon, and I still get chills listening to anything he says or speeches he puts out. But when I first didn't know the magnitude of how it was, I actually welled up in tears on how passionate and emotional I was at that point. Because I remember how disappointed I was and how heartbroken I was, and all Ravens Nation was. I mean, and all this has a point, especially at a 1-5 record right now for the team and how dismal we are this year. And it's about putting loss in perspective, because I don't know how it was for you, Brandon, but a lot of times, especially in my past, Ravens lose, it would wreck my week. Like, I would be in a bad mood all week. It was like PMS 24/7. Like, don't be around me because I'll probably cut your head off. That's how bad I was. Like, as you get older, you learn to let things go. You learn that it's just a football game. The players are out in the field. They're praying after the game. They're smiling. They respect each other. They're all at the end of the day. It's a game. There's only one Super Bowl champion at the end. Everybody can't win it all every year. So what it puts in perspective is there's more to life than just a football game. There's more to life than wins and losses. You ever won 1-5, it sucks. We get so passionate, so upset at games because it's a family, man. You get disappointed because you know they can play better, you know they can do better, and we want to see them succeed. And what I want to set the table here for is when Ray Lewis spoke, he put in perspective on what happened and what transpired of a phone call he received. And we'll play it. We'll play a snippet, and I encourage you to listen to the whole thing, because me talking about it can't do it justice. But here's Ray Lewis speaking on what really matters in life right here.
And I remember the scream a day before of a mother who called me this kid, her son who had just died of cancer. And I remember the scream of hearing her say, "He's gone, Ray." And that scream was as loud as all 70,000 fans that was in that stadium that night. And I realized the real value of life, that games may come and go, but they are real pains that goes on in this world. So I walk back in the locker room and I'm seeing my teammates, and I'm seeing them going through these emotions. And I looked at most of them and I said, "No way you can drop your head. Not over a loss. Because there's too much pain going on outside of this locker room."
Yeah, some very powerful stuff from Ray Lewis right there. Of course, you can go to raylewis.com as well as on his Twitter and Facebook page. So check out the entire video and go on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all those other places to get his book. But it really does make you think, you know.
Yeah, it does, man.
The Ravens, football in general, I mean, that's why we watch sports, you know? That's why people watch sports. That's why people get into movies. That's why people, you know, wash their car or whatever, because it takes you away from the things that really are bothering you in life. It's an escape to you get so invested because you're so happy when your team wins, representing your hometown or your state or whatever. And there are people that are fighting out there every single day with personal issues, with health issues, all that kinds of stuff. And Ray Lewis puts it in perspective. The Ravens are 1-5. The Ravens could have gone to the Super Bowl in 2011, and it just wasn't in the cards at that point. Nope. And you know, he really makes you really think. You know, it's a game. We love it because it makes us feel good, but it can also make you feel really bad. But at the end of the day, it's not the worst thing that can happen to any of us, really. At any point.
I mean, and you put it in perspective, I mean, you got our men and service women out there putting their lives on the risk for the country, and, you know, we're here, you know, bitching and whining about a football game, you know, or, "Oh, my team lost," or, "My team sucks." There's a lot more worse things that can happen, you're right, and we'll cover how bad our team's really playing here, but I just want to at least get, you know, we have to have that discussion now, that, you know, you're going to get your bandwagoners. You're going to get, you know, you get bandwagoners when we win. You get bandwagoners when we lose, because we'll start talking doom and gloom. And I'm selling my tickets and don't want to buy any merchandise and screw the team. And I'm not going to support them. But, yeah, you were there when Ray had his last dance, weren't you? You were there when we were in our playoff run. I'm sure you were. So you got to support them at their darkest hour, and our darkest hours are ahead. You know, and they always said it You know, it's dark. It gets worse before it gets better. It's darkest before the light. I mean, we've had it. I mean, you know, we went through a dismal 2007 season, and then Joe Flacco, Ray Rice, and John Harbaugh get hired here and get drafted and hired respectively. And then next thing you know, there's a string of playoff runs before you knew it. And then even in 2008, we weren't even expected to do anything because Kyle Bowler was our starter here, if you recall. He got hurt, and then it was Troy Smith, if you remember there, Brandon, and then he got sick. And then Joe Flacco is a rookie, gets thrust in a starting position, 11-5 record, AFC championship game. The rest is history. Starts every game since. So things happen for a reason. So we're going through a 1-5 season, and we're not catching touchdowns, and we're not making plays and not covering people for a reason. Whether it's to develop more players, to get the right talent on the team, who knows. But to cover this, with all that being said, the Ravens are 1-5, and oh, was it a trashy performance. I don't know where to start, but it was – There was no bright spots whatsoever. I think the only bright spot is we actually had another chance to win it, which was incredible, to say the least.
It was a crazy game to watch. This is it was just bad all around. There were bad plays from every single player out there.
Bad. And Ben don't even describe it, man.
Joe Flacco's interception, which was a throw pretty much right to the 49ers defenseman.
One of the worst of his career. And I've seen some interceptions from other quarterbacks, not only Joe Flacco, that were bad. I mean, Brett Favre had some atrocious ones. I saw some just past Monday Night Football in the Eagles-Giants game that were just flat out awful. I mean, it's not just Joe. I mean, you're going to say that Eli Manning sucks because Eli Manning threw almost the exact same pick Joe did. Just winging it up, and there's a defender standing there, and Sam Bradford did too. I'm not putting these guys on that level. I mean, you know, Eli's got two rings, Joe's got one, but there's quarterbacks that do that constantly. But it's not only that. I mean, Jimmy Smith gets burned by Anquan Boldin for a 50-yard gain.
Yeah,
went a 2nd-and-21, horrible. And I can't remember if it was Jimmy Smith or whoever who was covering Torrey Smith on that long touchdown. That you let him go behind you like that. It's just we've seen that here. We've seen that here, and you can't cover that. That's just no.
Yeah, it's Steve Smith, you know, dropping those passes, dropping those touchdowns.
My God,
let's talk about him for a little bit though. Do you think it was the right move to have him play this game? Because we saw that he was wearing, you know, some extra padding, like an extra belt or whatever, around his midsection. Should he have sat this one out?
I would say no. Being that we were 1-4 entering the game. Hey, if the doctor – I look at this. If the doctor say he's healthy and he's good to go, or are we to question that? You know, he's going to determine on how well he can play out there with extra padding and stuff. So, no, I mean, again, I can't really determine that. I don't know the extent of his health, but if Steve's a tough cookie. You know how he plays. You know how he rolls. And he's not going to want to come out of game unless his leg's broken. I mean, and he barely wanted to come out of game when his back was hurt. So you know how Ravens play. It's that tough mentality. And you don't want that to happen.
No.
Don't want that to happen at all. So, no, I think that Steve Smith hit being good, but I just feel for the safety of the players because you don't want to put players in the position where they're going to hurt themselves even more. But it just – and then bad because then he just has the plays to where, again, he's missing two touchdown catches, and he caught one out of three. He catches one or two of those touchdowns, and it's game over.
Now let's talk about another guy I want to bring up, number 35, Sharice Wright.
Brandon, 35. I'm walking into the store now, Brandon. So do you want to hold that thought real
yeah,
quick?
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm walking in the store now, so I figured instead of trying to – so I'm holding that thought. Sharice, 35. You can stay on the line with me if you want.
Yeah, you just want to record you buying the book? Let's just record you buying the book.
Oh, you want to record me buying the book?
Yeah.
Let me get in there first and get my wallet out of the car. All right. Flip. Oh, you might not want to record me if I find out they don't have any.
That's why I don't want to record this. I think it'd be funny.
No, it wouldn't, because the day I've had, you don't even know. So, yep, I got them in my hand.
All right, you got a book?
Yep, two of them.
All right.
Fresh off the presses. I am glowing like you would believe. Can't wait for you to sign. Oh, this is what's up, man.
So we got a hardcover book. It's got Ray's face on the cover, right?
Got Ray's face on the cover and on the back. I'm good. How are you? Thank you. Thank you much. Sounds good. It's going to be a Ray Lewis week around here.
Oh, yeah.
But I got the books, and they're mine. back to what you're saying, Sharice Wright.
Yeah, back to the game here, Sharice
back
Wright.
Back to the game, Sharice Wright.
This guy just got lit up. Has he played professional football before? Because if this guy can make it, I feel as if I could be a pretty good cornerback at this point.
It seems like no matter who we plug back in there, it's just not working out, man.
Obviously, the quote-unquote injury bug has affected the secondary for a few seasons now, and we made some additions to that secondary and was going to strengthen it up, and it has done absolutely nothing. Is this an Aussie problem? Is this a coaching problem? What is it? Because, like, I feel as if you can't really blame Dean Pease completely for it because he keeps getting new players. Like, every week there seems to be two to three new guys in the secondary that can hack it.
And what and not only that, and I'll definitely touch on your points, but not only that, but you can't gel as a unit, and you're constantly putting guys in and out like that. That's, I think, what's causing a lot of the bad play because – other than Jimmy Smith being a constant back there, it's you're plugging in Wright, you're plugging in Kendrick Lewis, you're plugging in Arrington, and in and out, and these guys are rotated out, and then you're putting practice squad players up. You're bringing these guys in, you're signing these guys, and it's just like it's constant. It's like it's no different than if you have an offensive line and you're cycling guys out, and you can't block correctly. It's like. You know, different if your quarterback went down and you're cycling through quarterbacks because of bad play.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get that gel that you want and wish to have on the team. So I think that equates to it. It could be coaching. It could be the secondary coach because these guys, you know, you want to play for your coach. You want to play hard for who you're playing for. And not to say I don't know if they're doing a great bang-up job, but coaching, of course, translates to playing and playing and coaching. So it's all hand-in-hand. I do not think it's a horrible situation, so let's just stop the train there. And it's on all sides of the ball. I mean, you're having, you know, whether it's play calling, whether it's clock management, I mean, but it's just what sickens me, though, is at the end of the day, we're not making plays, we're not covering, we're not catching the football. It's like fundamentals. It's not we're getting blown out by 40 points, as one of our listeners was tweeting me earlier this week. It's I'd rather get out by blowing the points and then it's more or less, it comes down to this. What really sucks about this year is how many times have we lost by 7 points or less?
Mm-hmm.
All, we didn't get blown out. I don't think any of our losses, if I look back, are in the double digits. All of them are single point losses.
Yeah.
And we barely won our game by 3 points. So it's like, we could be 3-3. We could be 4-2. We could be 5-1. We could easily be undefeated like the New England Patriots are or any other teams right now for that matter. We could be tied for first place with the undefeated Bengals. That's how crazy this season is right now. It's not like the Bengals came into Baltimore and handed us a 20-point loss or, you know, it's just like – or and then after the game after that, we lost, and then we're getting blown out constantly. It's – we're right there. I mean, we catch a touchdown in Oakland, that's a win. Parker Gilmore catches that football in Denver, we win. That's 3 wins there. So we're 3-3. You know, we catch the football in San Francisco, we win there. That's 4-2. So it's about if you execute on the fundamentals of football, you're going to win the football game. And that's what they're not doing.
Well,
they can't do it.
Let me ask you this. Does this team even want to win? Because look at the end of this game against the 49ers. The clock is running. You know, the clock didn't stop. Like I forget who it was. I think it was Steve Smith catches a ball, catches it in the middle of the field. So the clock is rolling. You know, it's not stopping in any way. He didn't leave out of bounds or anything. And the offensive line, Joe, the running back, they're just kind of like jogging to the line. They're taking 15 seconds or so. And you've got less than a minute left in the game. And they're wasting this time. Just you know, moseying on down the field. What was that going? I don't know if you noticed that or not, but they didn't seem like they really cared about this game.
They didn't, and you're seeing it. And I mean, I hate to say it, but the record's going to dictate play and no motivation. If you're not motivated to get in the playoffs and you're out of it, you need to go out and win football games, earn your paycheck. You got fans to play for. You're playing for city. You're playing for pride. We don't want to be a 1-15 football team and lose every game this year. We need to win some football games to say salvage the season. We need to win football games to ruin seasons for people. We still play the Bengals again. We play the Browns again and the Steelers again. Let's ruin their seasons. Let's beat the Steelers on Sunday night here in Baltimore. Hey, Seahawks coming to town. The Seahawks are no better. Seahawks are having a dismal year as well. Let's beat them. they've represented the NFC in the last two Super Bowls, and they won one of those. Let's beat them. Let's beat the Legion of Boom, because they're having a down year as well. So, and looking at our secondary play, I don't know what the Seahawks are doing, but hey, if the Legion of Boom's having a down year covering people, Ravens better get their crap together, because it's happening all across the league, not just the Ravens. So, but especially for our team, it's execution. It's the timely interceptions, and see, even that interception led, but it's just getting worse, man. I don't see any insight, but you're right. If there's nothing to play for, they don't have the hype, they don't have the drive, and then they're just like, oh, they're being lackadaisical, and it just sucks. And I've seen that and noticed that, and I'm really upset to see that, because that's not playing like a Raven. That's not hard-nosed, intense football. I'm sure Harbaugh's addressed that. And they're not playing like the Ravens we know. And you've seen it. Did you see how the frustration and Joe Flacco slamming his helmet? I think that speaks for us all.
Yeah, normally Mr. Joe Cool, you know, doesn't lose his cool. You can tell he's a little ticked off. I haven't seen him that mad since Tannen Doss, you know, misread a route and went the wrong way and told Tannen Doss to sit down. You know,
I remember that.
And he's out of the play. Joe,
that's a leader right there.
Yeah, Joe's is very different than Ray Lewis. He's leading in a different way. He doesn't lead by giving speeches and that kind of stuff. He kind of leads by example, you know, and holds people accountable. And if Joe's ticked off, there's definitely something wrong. I want to point the finger at Mark Trestman with the offense, because the offense, yeah, they're getting touchdowns. The running game is, you know, touch and go there for a little bit. But Mark Trestman, I have not been impressed 6 weeks in with this guy's work.
Not impressed.
I don't know. Do you let this guy go at the end of the year?
Yep. Easy. Done.
All right.
Next question. That's easy. That's not working out, man. I mean, and our players ain't helping, because they're not bailing him out with making spectacular plays as we should. So it just comes down to it's fundamentals. I'm really upset, because this team knows better. I mean, it's a football team. You know, I've seen, you know, high schoolers do it better. College players are sure doing it better and cleaner. And I was happy, because it seemed like they cut down on the penalties on Sunday. Did you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It seemed like they were more disciplined on that front.
A little bit, definitely, yeah. They weren't just, like, giving away yards like they were Oprah.
No, not at all. I mean, and that was another thing, is when you're giving them free yards and free first downs, and on third down you're doing a defensive hold, it's just uncalled for. And it just – everything just went against us. I mean, we never led. I think that was the first time this year that we haven't led a football game. And all of our losses up until that point, we led in the fourth quarter. We had opportunity to win. And then in this one, we had opportunity to win 35 yards away. And it just didn't work out. It just didn't work out in the way we wanted to, and a 20-25 loss. I mean, I didn't expect it the way it happened, but we're 1-5, man. This one, I really, any way you slice and dice it, it's just sucky. It's just sucky all around, man. I don't know what to say. I mean, we're in dire straits. We've never been in this position before. Really, I'm just interested to see what may happen in the coming weeks, because you think they're firing people? Who knows? In the coming weeks, Brandon, it's going to be a rough season. I mean, I don't know what the season's going to bring, but they got to start winning football games, man. I mean, they play Monday Night Football coming up. Cardinals look strong. They got Phillip Rivers in 2 weeks. Phillip Rivers, he just threw 503 yards and lost a football game. So, I mean, Phil Rivers is the leading passer in the NFL right now, yards wise. So it just doesn't get any easier. And even looking at the schedule, we thought it was not a cupcake schedule. Where there's such thing in the NFL, no. But we thought it was going to be a lot easier sledding at a 12-4, 11-5 record. Right now, it's a 1-5 record. And it's right now how the players are performing on other teams. Now their teams are stacking up. It's going to get worse right now, man. We got to start playing better all around. It's got to start.
Yeah, well, at least the Ravens have a little bit of an extended week coming up. You know, they don't have to play until Monday night, and then there's a bye after that. So,
and they're not coming. They're not staying out west. They're coming back home doing their normal routine.
Right. Yeah, and there was originally talk of them staying out west for those 2 weeks, and obviously, since it didn't work out the first time, they're not going to try it again.
No, and I wouldn't advise that. I mean, they need to just stick to their guns, stick to routine, and yeah, I mean, it's just dire straits. And then on top of that, letting Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith, our former players who brought us the title as well, Anquan Boldin catching the first touchdown in Super Bowl 47, and it just even sucks worse because we know what these guys are capable of, and then they blow off the lid and have career days like that. It just makes it even worse because it's like, oh great, it's kind of like they just beat us with their own medicine, and it just sucks. Like, ah, oh, here to come the Ravens at 1-4, and we got the toys. Let's just beat them with them, and it's just, you know what it, you know what this is like, man.
What's it like?
This is like, oh my god, how to explain this? This is like having the best girlfriend ever, and then breaks up for no apparent reason, goes and gets another guy, and then you ended up somehow, lo and behold, on a double date, and they're flaunting their stuff right in front of you, and you're unhappy, and you're dismal. They beat us with our own old players. That just sucks, man. It's like, it sucks. You just sit there and take it. He couldn't do anything. I told you, it always comes down to relationships. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way of looking at it, but man, yeah, seeing Anquan and Tori over there.
It was good and bad.
It was good for them, hurt for us. Obviously, like, the 49ers aren't having a great season either, but could have fooled me with the way those two guys were playing on Sunday. They definitely, you know, they looked good. So,
but how bad the Ravens are playing right now, I have to bring this up because this was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. Did you see what the Colts did on Sunday Night Football, dude?
Yes,
hey,
I did.
At least we're not pulling that junk. Holy crap.
I don't even know. What like, I don't even think their coach knows what happened. Like, I think everyone was just so confused.
Look, it could be as worse as it is in Raven Nation at 1-5, but at least we're not calling plays like that. That was bad. And you just gave the Patriots 7 points. That was just. I looked at my dad. I'm like, do they want to lose this game? Because that you just basically gave the New England Patriots, who are playing great and are undefeated, but football, like. President Borat said, here you go. Here's another 7 points. Like, hey, at least we're not calling plays that bad. That was – yeah, that was bad football, dude.
I would much rather be a Ravens fan at 1-5 than be an Indy fan ever. But
– No, and they lost by 7.
Yeah.
That even makes it worse. So yeah. It's like, yeah, apart from that, it really sucks all around because in the NFL, we still have undefeated teams. The Bengals, man, they're 6-0. This is how bizarre this year is, man. Ravens are 1-5 and the Bengals are 6-0. What the heck happened?
Yeah, you're either one of the greatest teams in the league or you're just trash. It seems like there's no middle ground at all. There's not like so-and-so teams. There's either great or terrible.
Yep, exactly. There's no middle. It's either you're playing great or you're playing bad. And on top of that, it just shows you how the NFL is such different in parity and how different it could be year to year. Because like 2 years ago, I had no Panthers fans because, of course, they – were connected with Steve Smith, and I know some of them are my good friends, and look at the years they've had. You know, they were sucking the last couple of years, and now they're undefeated, and they just went and beat Seattle. I mean, they're legit. The Packers held on against the Cardinals, or not Cardinals, the Chargers, my bad, because I'm thinking about our game coming up.
Yeah.
And the Bengals just I don't know what they're doing, but they're, oh my God, just, yeah, they're contenders, man. And being in our division and the Steelers winning and beating the Cardinals, our next opponent, they're 4-2. It's just bad, man. I mean, it's just, you know, we're sitting at the bottom looking up. You got a good play all around. I mean, you're right, in the AFC stacked. I mean, the AFC has, you know, 3 of the undefeated teams in the league. So it's a pretty stacked thing. So even if we were to, and the Broncos did win too, how about this? The Broncos and Browns were in overtime. How about that?
Again, this is like Twilight Zone NFL or something.
Peyton Manning sucked. I had Blake Bortles in my fantasy sitting on my bench, and he outpointed me. Man, Blake Bortles for another 3 touchdowns, which, by the way, the Jaguars will probably come in and beat us too, because it's these quarterbacks that are in the league right now are just they're killing it, and we can't cover. So it pretty much duck and cover it because it. We're going to get blown out one of these games. We're going to just look at each other and go, all right, really? It's fun and it sucks at the same time. It's fun because it's still Ravens season. There's still Ravens football. But, you know, I hear a couple of knuckleheads on the radio and I stop listening to the sports talk when they're like, when's spring training? I'm like, really? Shut up, dude. Like, stop. Like, let's just stop right there. It's Ravens football. you're going to regret saying all that kind of stuff and not watching games or putting throwing in the towel because these moments come few and far in between. You know, there's only 16 weeks we get to watch this team play real good football, 3 hours a week, 48 hours real time a year. I'm not stopping for nothing. They could be 0-15, 0-16, I don't care. Still going to love this team no matter what. Because you know what? We loved them when we were high. We loved them when we were in New Orleans. Gotta love them when they're playing bad because it's a marriage and you're stuck for life.
Absolutely, that's exactly how it goes. And even this, we're having a bad year. It's good to see young guys like Max Williams, you know, really coming to his own. It's good to see Steve Smith, you know, potentially on his last ride. I still think the Ravens are going to have him play one more season, but we'll talk about that.
I defer on that one.
Yeah, that's off season talk, but I have a feeling he's going to stick around. But it's good to see this guy potentially playing his last couple games and what he can do. It's good to see, you know, the elite dragon Joe Flacco throwing touchdowns. And having such a hard time this year while still, you know, throwing a lot of yards, even though it's not the no wins and not a lot of stuff going on.
300 yards.
So,
and here's another thing. And speaking of that, he's still playing every game for us, knock on wood.
Yeah.
We have a durable quarterback who's been playing every game since 2008. He's only brought us a Super Bowl. He's only brought us playoff wins and a 5 playoff record. I mean, what more he could ask for? He tied Joe Montana for a postseason record. There's going to be bad games. I mean, Brett Favre is entering a Hall of Fame next year, and believe it or not, and I think the record still stands, I think he's thrown for the most interceptions in a career in a quarterback. I believe so. Don't quote me on that, but he's not he's number two. He's a lot of touchdowns, but he's thrown a lot of picks. It's the old adage, you know, you got to go up to the plate striking out. You got to swing the bat. You can't go up there and looking at pitches and thinking, oh, I'm going to hit home runs. You got to go at life, you know, striking out, and we're going to make mistakes. I mean, you hate to sound cliche on all this, but hey, Michael Jordan didn't make his high school basketball team. He got cut, and look at Michael Jordan. I mean, we already know what he did. So it happens. I mean, we're going to fail. You can't be afraid of failure. And I'm sure if Ray Lewis was still playing for this team or standing in front of us right now, I'm sure if I asked him on Thursday when I see him, he would say, "Can't be afraid to fail, my friend. You got it. This team's got to. They got to be down to get up again." You know? And I hate to say this, but I'm going to do my best Batman impression. You ready?
All right.
Brandon, why do we fall?
I don't know if I can do an Alfred here, but...
Don't do Alfred. You might butcher it and I'll probably laugh so hard. If we fall, we pick ourselves back up again.
All right, nicely
that's
done.
From Dark Knight Trilogy. I love that. But that just brings perspective, guys. As mad as I am, as frustrated as I was... entering the game and really it sucks. It makes me mad. But at the end of the day, we have a Monday Night Football game. We play a Monday Night Football this week. Set up the Purple Friday preview here. So again, we get the spotlight. Hey, and I even joked. I said we got our first win on Thursday Night Football. We may get our second win on Monday Night Football for the team that we had not expected to even beat because apparently we get up for the primetime games, don't we?
And that used to be the exact opposite. Usually, like the primetime games, we would be terrible on. But it's again, this is bizarro Twilight Zone season. So
no, but apparently, and then but see, we've seen it before. We've seen this same Ravens squad, not the same players, but the same team organization. We lost on Monday Night Football on the road to Jacksonville in the midst of a 12-4 playoff run. It happened. So hey, who's to say we could probably only win 3, 4, 5 games this year, and we could beat Pittsburgh or beat the Cardinals coming up on Thursday and Monday Night Footballs and watch us win all these crazy games of these good teams, but we can't even beat the teams we need to beat or the ones that we need to execute for. So it might be dismal, man, but we're not out of it. I mean, we still got games to play. We can still salvage a 4, 5, 6 win season. Playoffs are a far-gone conclusion unless they can win every game here. I mean, it always reminds me, it cracks me up, like the Angels in the Outfield movie, like, what was the backstory? Like, the dad wasn't coming home or something until the Angels won the pennant. What was
that
about?
Yeah, that was it.
And then they did. The guy, like, you can never count because it's week to week. You never know. I mean, if the Ravens actually ended up, again, I'm not there. I don't know what they're practicing, but they execute on Sunday, win one, win two, win three. I mean, as bad as they're losing games in a row, you can win. I mean, the Giants, apart from losing on Monday night, they started 0-2, and they won 3 straight, and they were 3-2 up until they lost. Now they're 3-3. I mean, things happen. The Ravens were 5-4 in the year 2000, won 7 straight regular season games in the midst of a 12-4 route. We've seen it before. So, I mean, not, and you can't go off the past. They were totally, you know, that was 15 years ago, totally different teams. That was all, and you can't compare, but I'm just saying, teams get hot. And I've seen it before at the Packers. The Packers had to stay alive every game, made it a 6 seed in wild card in the last month of football. Basically, it was a playoff game for like 2 months straight. They went on win the Super Bowl 40. So things happen. Not saying the Ravens are making the playoffs, not by any shot. They don't even deserve to, and they would have to win every game to even do so at this point, because they would be 11-5 if that happened. So what my point is let's just enjoy the ride. Let's just enjoy the moment that we have Joe Flacco under center. We have players enjoy Steve Smith last year, because before you know he's going to retire and you're going to go, man, I miss that guy playing. He was tough as nails. Let's enjoy that he's on the field. Let's enjoy that he's back from his injury. And look what he did. Yeah, he might have dropped some touchdowns, but the dude still put in a good performance. He caught one. And you know what was even baffling about that man? And watching the highlights, the ones he dropped were easy, and he makes the hardest one a touchdown.
Yeah, you always got to make life a little bit harder. I mean, it's more fun
hey,
that
we,
way.
Hey, what you always say is we shoot ourselves in the foot again, yeah. Man. It's the Ravens versus the Ravens. You can't beat yourselves. Because when you're playing against yourselves, you're going to lose. You got to play the opponents. We're pretty much playing ourselves. It's like the Ravens are playing like mirrors in front of their helmets. It's when they're lining up under center, they're staring right back in themselves, and they're tripping over their own 2 feet. They're clumsy. Catch the ball. How hard is that to practice? I mean, you practice it all week. How hard is it to block? How hard is it to cover? How hard is it to not to create? It's fundamental. It's not like Joe Flacco's throwing 3 picks a game and no touchdowns and we're sucking and, you know, everybody's just bad play. It's just do your job. Like me and my dad were talking this week. We looked at each other. I'm like, just do your job. Bill Belichick preaches that all the time. It's coaching. And I even said that too. I looked at some other teams around the league. I'm like, well, they wrap the ball up when they catch the ball or they go down. Well, they make tackles. They actually arm tackle instead of shoulder tackle. And my dad's like, you know what that is? That's coaching. That's coaching the fundamentals. So maybe it is our secondary coach. Maybe it is our linebacker. I don't know. But the coaching and the playing on the field, there's a disconnect somewhere. And it's got to improve. This is going to get out of hand real quick.
Yeah, it really is. And you know,
one of five's out of hand, but
yeah.
If we lose 2 or 3 more straight, and we're looking at 1 win in 2 months, 3 months of football, yeah, that's going to scream number one pick already.
Yeah, and we'll discuss more of that in the off season, and then on the Purple sure. Friday preview. But as far as this Red Eye review goes, have we covered everything?
Man, we covered this to the max.
All right, very cool. If you want to continue the conversation, talk to Josh or I about the Baltimore Ravens, about the NFL, about football in general, all that good stuff, all you got to do is go over to Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
You can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
That's right, everybody. So use your social media accounts. Share the show. Let people know that even though we are down in the dumps and that we are losing, that we're still Baltimore Ravens fans. We're Ravens Nation worldwide. And that they should be listening to the call, because we're helping you get through this this season. So all you got to do is go onto Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. We're completely free. Go over, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. We're always sharing stuff. Josh mostly is. You can also go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about this show and every other show that we do from Brando Cash and Entertainment, including What the Puck. So if you are some fair weather fans out there listening and you want to start getting into hockey and you like the Capitals, listen to What the Puck. Why not? It's another show that I do with Coach Dan, and that season's just started getting going. We've only had about 4 games, so make sure you check us out. So that's pretty much it for this Red Eye review. Josh, next week is going to be episode 100. I can't wait to share some stories with some newcomers that have just tuned in this season. We've been around for a while, for a lot of seasons. You know, I shared something with you over the weekend, and let's save it till next week. But this past Saturday was 4 years officially when you and I became friends. I know, because it was when we met Ray Lewis, and I posted a picture of that. So we'll talk about
that. Why not celebrate 4 years and come out on Thursday?
Oh, that would be cool. That
would be cool. You're more than welcome to, my friend. I don't know if you can make it out, though. But
Yeah, actually, yeah, I might try to do that. That sounds pretty cool. Hopefully I can get off work at a good, reasonable hour. But that's pretty much it for the episode of The Call this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. And guys, it's officially getting worse and worse and worse and worse every week. We root so hard. We hope so well. And it's just a big fat L at the end of the day, and it sucks. I'm tired of losing. Losing pisses you off. Ray Lewis can echo that. Steve Smith already said it a few times today, and we've seen Joe Flacco throw his helmet. I'm sure we've all thrown some things in the wake of these losses, so we can share in the frustration, but we can't do it for these guys. We can talk about arm tackling. We can talk about catching the football, catching touchdowns, executing, but we're not out there for these guys. We can't even coach them. But we can root hard. We can have our best hearts invested in the game. You know, like Brandon always would echo, clear eyes and full hearts. We just got to root hard, man, and seasons, we just got to salvage it. It's dismal. It sucks. Bad play around. We don't condone this in Raven Nation. I sure don't. I'm sure anybody doesn't. I'm sure the players can speak for that. Just got to right the ship and get it better. And if we turn the ship around and right the ship in the direction we want to go, we can salvage the season and win a few football games and feel good about ourselves in 2015 entering next year. It all starts this week. Got to get back to practice, Park Ravens. Let's go. Baltimore Ravens. Start flying high and let's go out with some wins this year.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.